Are you ready for the word here today?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said over there in Matthew 5, he said, those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And actually, the first part of that verse is, blessed are those that do hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled, right? So if you want to be blessed, you want to be filled. You know, so many times we think we know better what would satisfy our lives, but we don't. You know, Paul told the Corinthians, he says, I don't even know my own heart as much as God knows it. You know, and so, listen, there's things that God has in store for you that you've never even thought of before, that you've never even considered. And listen, don't make up your way what satisfies your life. He knows more than you do what you need and what's going to help you. Amen. But we got to hunger for it. We got to thirst for it. If we're just sitting here, well, I'm going to bide my time. Usually church services end right around this time, so I'm just going to get there. Listen, God doesn't have an attendance policy. He tells you to attend church. You know, the Word of God makes it clear. But just sitting here won't change your life. What will change your life is that when you get hungry, when you get thirsty for the things of God, that's what's going to change your life. Because then God can move in and bless you. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles over there to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to call this How to Experience the Holy Spirit, part 2. Last week, of course, was the very first day of the new year, and we started a new series of messages called How to Experience the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that God wants to demonstrate Himself in our lives? He doesn't want us just to read about Him. He wants us to experience Him. Amen. And so we're going to teach you how to do that. And we started over in Proverbs chapter 1, and we first started by dealing with our own character and our own integrity and how we spend our time and what we give our strength to and so on. And we're going to just, for the sake of review, kind of use that as our starting scripture again. Go over to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 22. Amen. Proverbs 1:22. You got to hunger for God. You got to desire Him. You know what I mean? Don't be one of those Christians that you're up and down based on what's going on with the weather. I'll tell you what. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He is the source of why we're happy. You know, we don't have to wait for a sunny day before we feel good. Amen. You don't have to wait for a good feeling before you just decide to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. If you live with an emotional life that's up and down with the weather or up and down with the circumstances, I'll tell you what, you're going to get addicted to good feelings, and then you're going to be lost when there's no good feeling to find. There's going to be plenty of times in this life where there'll be no good feelings to find. So don't get addicted to them. Just decide to have the joy of the Lord right now. Just to choose to walk in the joy of God. Some people say, well, I just don't feel it. Pastor Tim, you just must feel it more than I do. No, that's just it. I don't try to feel anything. I don't try to feel God because God isn't a feeling. All right? Amen. To experience God isn't based on what you see and what you feel. It's based on what you believe. Praise the Lord. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. And we started in verse 22 about, again, how to experience the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Ghost, of course, is the third person of the Trinity, right? There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not like just some energy force, like some people try to portray Him to be. No, He is the very personality of God Himself. And He does not move or work randomly. All right? He doesn't just say, well, today's your lucky number, so your number came up, so I'm going to do something for somebody today. No, there are certain principles that either bring Him closer or push Him away. And so many Christians are wanting God to move closer, but they don't realize that they're violating principles in God's Word and wondering where the Holy Ghost is. All right? And so the Holy Ghost moves towards us on purpose. Not randomly, not accidentally, not just, you know, people say all the time, Christians have even adopted the saying, God works in mysterious ways. No, He does not. We looked at the verse last week that tells us that He has revealed to us specifically how He works. God isn't in the mystery business with us anymore, right? Can we bring that verse up just for the fun of it? It was 1 Corinthians, 2:9. I wasn't planning on going there. I haven't even gotten to Proverbs 1 yet. Can you bring up 1 Corinthians 2:9 just to kind of review that. It says, but it is written, eye is not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Do you love him here today? You know, notice it's not just prepared for those that walk into church. It's not just prepared for those who put something in the offering. It's for those that love God with all their heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, a lot of times this verse is used to describe heaven. And so many times people try to, you know, they quote this verse at funerals and memorial services trying to explain that we have no idea how good it's going to be in heaven. But this verse is not talking about heaven at all. It's not talking about life in heaven. It's talking about what God wants to do right here on this earth. How do you know? Look at God has things prepared for you right now. Notice your eye can't see them, your ear can't hear them, and sometimes you can't even conceive in your heart and your mind just what they are. But God still has them for you. They are prepared. What does that mean? Ready to be served. Ready to be served. You know, how many of you have ever jumped on an airplane and flown somewhere and they have some kind of meal or snack on there ready to go for you? How many of you have ever been in a situation like that? Many of us, you've maybe been on an airplane and they'll feed you like that little salad or a bagel, or if you're really flying fancy, they'll heat you up a frozen cheeseburger. and you get real fancy like that. But how many of you know when those meals go on that airplane, they're already prepared? There isn't a chef up there with the pilot making all that stuff. That stuff comes already prepared. That means what? It's ready to go. As soon as they go, they just take it out of that little warmer rack and it goes right out to you. Well, how many of you know God in the same way? He has things right now that he's keeping warm on his rack there, just ready for you to step in and receive those things. But you don't want to miss those things. You notice your eye can't see them. You can't even see what God has for you right now. Your ear can't hear. Your natural abilities, your natural senses can't even pick up on it. All right? But look at the next verse, verse 10. It says this, but God has revealed them to us by his Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. All right, so notice these are not things in heaven for us. These are things on earth for us, because God's not playing a mystery game with us anymore. He's not playing hide and seek. He's trying to play show and tell. He's trying to show us what he has for us. He's like, it's better than your mind can think. It's better than what your eye can see. It's better than what your ears can hear. God is good. But notice how he reveals these things to us through the Holy Ghost. So we better know how to fellowship with him. We better learn to draw the Spirit closer if we're going to want to know these things, all right? And so that's why we're over in Proverbs 1 and verse 22. Look at Proverbs 1 and 22. It says, how long, ye simple ones? Oh, I went down to that church. That pastor called me a simple one. Well, I'm just reading the scripture. And listen, I'm going to, you know that when I preach here, I don't preach just to you, I preach to me too. You know, and I think any minister that says otherwise is fooling himself, because we all are included in this verse, right? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. It says this in verse 23, turn or change at my reproof or correction. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. He says, I will make known my words unto you. Isn't that what we want? God to make known what he has for us. But notice in verse 22 what the answer is. He says, oh, you simple ones, how long will you love simplicity? Let me translate that for you. That word simplicity and simple, it means to give your time and strength to foolish things that have no benefit. He's saying, how long will you give your efforts and your strengths and your time and your resources to things that have no eternal significance? You know, and last week, you know, we really focused hard on, in this year, why don't we put down, how about a little less TV? How about a little bit more prayer? How about a little less Facebook? Unless you're talking to the church. No, I'm just kidding. A little less Facebook and a little bit more time in the Word. You know what I mean? How about a little bit more things that have eternal significance instead of just constantly giving all of our time to things that have no eternal benefit? And of course, in verse 23, God promises, he says, when you do this, I'll pour out my spirit. He's saying, when you let something, when you pay the price in your flesh, if you give up something to make a little bit more room for the Holy Ghost, he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on you. If you want God's plans to be known, you're going to have to set something carnal aside. All right, it doesn't mean you can never watch TV. It doesn't mean you can never, you know, communicate and have fun on Facebook or whatever. But how about, you know, but what it, the problem is when those things completely dominate our life. We go day after day and it's just TV, it's just computer, it's just all this stuff. Next thing you know, we've never prayed. We've never studied the Word. We've never meditated in the Scripture. You know what I mean? And God's saying, listen, if all you're going to do is love foolish things, you know, I can't pour out my spirit. You know, so that's the first thing that we address is our character and how we spend our time. Amen. Praise the Lord, of course. So we looked at that last week. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 18. And last week we said the first two things that we have to do to experience the Holy Ghost is number one, don't grieve him with your words. Remember Ephesians 4:29? It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto those that hear you, right? And then verse 30, that you grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherewith you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice that your words can grieve the Holy Ghost. The number one way to experience God in your life is not to grieve him with your words. Oh, and we talked about some examples last week. Complaining, what does it do? It grieves God. You know, listen, every single one of us in here in some way have it very good. All right? You woke up this morning more prosperous than 95% of this entire world. You know that? Just by virtue of living in this country, you are more prosperous than a vast majority of this planet. All right? You're going to have food in your mouth today. You have a roof over your head. You have probably something generating heat for you. You know what I mean? You have clothes to wear. You probably have even a vehicle to drive. And that makes you prosperous in a vast majority of this earth. There is something to be glad about today. All right? And you say, well, if you're just one of those people that are always just trying to find everything negative in this life, I'll tell you what, God's going to be grieved and he's going to back up for you, from you. You know, if you're using profane language, Christians nowadays all of a sudden think it's okay to use profanity. There was a time in this country when Christians didn't swear. And they say, well, that's just old-fashioned. No, that's scriptural. Listen, you talk dirty, guess what? God's going to be grieved and he's going to back up from you. He don't talk like that. He doesn't understand that language, all right? And the second thing we said how to experience God is don't forget the good that he has done for you. You're going to have to look back at what God has done for you, and you're going to have to thank him for those things even when you are standing in the face of something that's a trial right now. When you stand in front of a new trial, you look back at the ones you conquered and you say, thank you, God, this one's going to be just like the rest. That is how you please God when you look back and say, you've brought me over this, you got me through this, you got me through that, you're going to get me through the new one. Amen. And to look at the new trial and to complain and then forget what God did for you in the past grieves God. And we saw that in Hebrews chapter 3. You can read all about how the Israelites did that. They forgot all the miracles that God did for them. And God said, I'm grieved with that generation. I'm grieved. I have to back up from them. I can't use them. I can't move on their behalf because they don't remember the good I did for them. All right? Don't you be like one of them. All right? And so let's go to Matthew 18. And let's talk about, again, even further here, the next step, how to experience the Holy Ghost. And today we're going to focus on the corporate anointing. The corporate anointing. And if you say, Pastor, what is the corporate anointing? Let me show you with the scripture. Jesus speaking in Matthew 18, Let's start in verse 18. I get to preach in and then I don't turn to the scriptures. Jesus is speaking, Matthew 18, 18. And Jesus says this. He says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is talking about the authority we possess on this earth as Christians. All right, when he says, "whatever you shall bind," that word "bind" there means forbid. Yeah. Whatever you shall forbid on this earth, it'll be forbidden in heaven. Meaning that God uses the church to put their foot down on this earth and to forbid certain actions, certain things from taking place, certain things from going on in our government, certain things from harassing our families. Listen, and so you could say it this way: whoever shall forbid on earth shall be forbidden in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose, the word "loose" there, it means to permit. Whatever you permit on earth shall be permitted in heaven. Meaning if you're okay with it, then God's going to be okay with it. Meaning if the church, God needs the church on this earth to use its authority. If we're just okay with these evil practices in our government, God's not going to change it without the help of the church. God needs a voice on this earth that is saying, no more of this. God needs the church praying and declaring and using its authority if things are going to change in our nation and our society. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. The reason why certain things have crept into our society is that the church is not binding and loosing like it should. You know, the church is getting way too permissive. You know, with such things as same-sex marriage, such things as, you know, abortion, such things as many things in our government that the church is just starting to be okay with. And if we're okay with it, then God's going to say, I can do nothing else. You know, if the church isn't going to stand against it, he has nothing else on this earth to stand against it. All right? So it's talking about it, about what the church will forbid and permit on this earth. And of course, it's not talking about just one individual. It's talking about what a group of believers. All right? It's talking about a group of believers. All right, now look at this in verse 19. He says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." All right, this is what we call the prayer of agreement. All right, notice when two people, at least two, get together, there is something that God will do about it. When we get in agreement together, God moves. All right. And now verse 20 is the verse I'm trying to get to. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." All right? Notice the presence of God shows up when we're gathered two or three or more in his name. Right? All right? This is what we call the corporate anointing, because it is not something that one individual can replicate. It takes at very least two. It takes at least two together to move the hand of God. Here's what the corporate anointing is. Are you ready? It is the power of God's presence that can only occur in the midst of multiple believers. Let me say it again. Come on, are you excited about God's word here today? Yeah. It is the power of God's presence that can only occur in the midst of multiple believers who are in fellowship. Who are in fellowship. Notice that you alone are not going to move the hand of God. Oh, here we go. Here we go. The corporate anointing is the most powerful anointing of God on this earth. Why? Because it brings his very presence to that place. We are gathered here in the name of Jesus Christ as more than two or three on this earth. God's presence is now required. You can't get what we have here today at home. You can't get it. Sorry, you live streamers. We love you and appreciate you. And of course, we use that as an outreach and things, and maybe people are snowed in and couldn't get here today or whatever. But the corporate anointing is not received through a television screen. It is not received through a teaching CD. It cannot be replicated any way else than being gathered together in that name and in agreement and in fellowship one with another. Praise the Lord. It is the most powerful anointing of God on this earth. It is also the most capable anointing of God on this earth. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There is nothing that the corporate anointing can't do. There's nothing that is limited when we are gathered together in that name. Listen, healing is more likely in the corporate anointing. Provision is more likely in the corporate anointing. God never wanted anybody to be a lone ranger in the body of Christ. He never wanted anyone to be a one-man show or a one-woman show. And people say, oh, I have God, just me and him. I don't need the rest of you. Don't work that way. Can't say you're going to have God and not have his people, because you need at least somebody else in agreement. You need to be in at least fellowship somewhere with multiple believers. It is the most capable anointing of God on this earth. It is the most required and needed anointing of God on this earth. What we need most of all while we're still living here is the corporate anointing. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that God waters his garden when we're here together. He waters his garden. You know what his garden is? It's a local church. And guess what it is? It's not the local church that's, you know, sitting home watching, you know, a TV preacher and saying and calling that church. That doesn't qualify, you know? The corporate anointing is when we gather together. Praise the Lord. It is what we need the most. God is not watering people, Christians who are off, you know, skipping church, you know, to, you know, I don't know what they're doing today. They might be skiing or snowboarding or something today. I almost said golfing, but I don't think there's probably too many out there today that are doing a whole lot of golfing. Listen, God wants you to go golf, go have fun, but when it's time to worship God, we need the corporate anointing. Oh, it's the most required and needed anointing of God on this earth. But you know what? It's also the most neglected anointing of God on this earth. How many believers have you run into that just say, I just don't really need a church? I'm a believer and I just don't need a church. That is one of the greatest deceptions of the devil on earth today. Listen, people, you know, or people adopt this idea, the church needs me more than I need the church. They're just trying to get me there as like a consumer, or they're just trying to attract me to have more people at the church. No. Listen, you need a church. You need the corporate anointing more than the church needs you. You know what I mean? I'm here first and foremost. I need to be here more, you know what I mean? More than this church needs me to be here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But it's also the most neglected anointing of God on this earth. Some people, they just take it, the corporate anointing, they just think church is, you know, sitting in a chair until noon and, you know, hopefully the preacher doesn't go too long and all that stuff. That is a selfish, shallow mentality that God will not bless. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout all the earth, searching to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. And of course, we don't do this around here, but our hearts should be so perfect with God that if service went to 12:30 or 1 o'clock, we'd be fine with it. People are like, oh no, oh no. No, see, when the pastor says something like this, is when you just say, yes, amen, praise the Lord. Use a little reverse psychology on the pastor, then he's less likely to go so long. But in honesty, we should have such a heart for God. You know, you look at, you know, when you start looking at church like you do, you know, other responsibilities in life, and you start to develop a mentality that dreads it, God is not pleased with a Christian who dreads church. Listen, we all have experienced those thoughts and feelings. But I'll tell you, when those thoughts and feelings come to you, you better shake that off. You better say, no. I'm going to go and I'm going to bring my joy. I don't care how tough the week was. I don't care how tired you are, how late you had to be up, or the baby was crying in the middle of the night, whatever. We show up to church. We bring God our joy. We bring our response. Because I need what's going on. This is the most important hour and a half, or a little more, of our week. It is the most important, or Wednesday night. It's just another opportunity for God to get out the watering can. So many times I hear people say, listen, I understand. You know, I have a real news flash for people. I'm going to let you in a little personal secret of mine. I work too. You know, I know people have this idea that the pastor just works, you know, a day or two a week, and, you know, he just has it easier than everybody else. Listen, when you get home from your job, you're home from your job. Listen, I love what I do. I'm called to it. It's not a job for me. It's a calling. It's a grace. It's an anointing. It's an office of God. I love it. But I'm just saying, it never leaves me. It never leaves me. Even when I take a vacation, I took a little one this week, all right? Guess what? I'm still working. I'm still going driving through the hills of Western Illinois, trying to find a cell service so I could get an email out, or, you know, communicate with people in the church and administrative things in the church, all right? It's always with me. It's always with me. So just a little secret. I work too. And I know what it's like to come home and be tired. I know what that feels like, all right? But, you know, so many times Christians say, I couldn't be in church on Sunday because that's my only day off and I rest that day. Listen, there's no time in bed that will ever bless you as much as being in the corporate anointing. Or people say, you know, I can't come to church on Wednesday night. I get out of work at 5 or 5:30, and I just got to go home and just crash in front of the TV and stuff like that. Listen, I know you might have to, give the flesh a pep talk to get here, but you'll be glad when you did. It will give you more help and more energy. And listen, if you're visiting and you're out of town and you have a local church somewhere, do that there. It's not just a family church idea. If your church is holding services, get in the corporate anointing. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. The answer to every question in life is the corporate anointing. You will get more answers in this service than you will ever in 3 hours of counseling with me. Because God's going to give you answers. It might be answers of something completely off the topic that we're preaching on. I could be preaching on finances and all of a sudden you get an answer for your marriage. I could be preaching on health and healing and you get answers for something with your business or whatever it is. Or, you know, we could be preaching on the corporate anointing and God speaks to you about how to handle your children or what to do in that situation. You know, God is so good. Amen. The answer to every question in life is get into the corporate anointing, all right? The solution to every trial first begins with the corporate anointing. Yep. Everything you're going through, it begins in the corporate anointing. Yep. Healing is the most present in the corporate anointing. So many times people say, oh, I got something, you know, in my body. You know, I'll tell you what, there's no greater healing room in the world than being in your good local church with Bible teaching where the Holy Ghost is able to move. Amen. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for the medical community. God blesses that and certainly honors that. I'm glad to have a good doctor, and we should. Listen, be wise. Go to your doctor every couple of years. Get checkups. Take physicals. Be wise. Don't you dare ever think that this church is against medicine or the medical community. I'll tell you what, I am very grateful for good doctors. God uses them, and they're on the same team. They want you healthy. God wants you healthy. Amen. But I'll tell you what, the greatest healing room in the world is God's house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Provision is the most abundant in the corporate anointing. Provision. How many of you have needs that you want God to meet? Okay, 5 of you. Praise the Lord. Well, we must have just the wealthiest church in town. Here we go. You've never faced a need in your life. Well, yes, you do, and the needs are going to be met in the corporate anointing. Uh-huh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen to this, what Jesus said in verse 20 again, for where two or three are gathered. Notice they're gathered in the name, meaning that their gathering was for the purpose of the name of Jesus. Folks, that is what the local church is for. I may not know every personal thing about everyone's lives in here. I'll tell you right now, I don't. I don't have the opportunity to go to every house and to have, you know, personal time, and have that friendship. You know what I mean? Where, you know, I know every personal element about your life. That's not what I'm here for. Thank God for those times and when they occur and things. But our priority is when we gather here together for the purpose of the name of Jesus Christ. And when we do, his presence shows up. And when God, where Jesus is present, his abilities are present. How many believe Jesus is the healer? Then guess what? Guess who's here today? The healer is in the house right now. Who believes that Jesus is the provider? Guess what? The provider's here right now. Come on now. Come on. You know, so many times, you know, we've done this with our families. Maybe there's your parents or an aunt or uncle or somebody who's successful in life that you know, and maybe you're going through a need and you're going to be at a family gathering, or, you know, you're going to go see your parents or something, or somebody that can help you or whatever. You start looking at them and you say, oh, you know, they're here today. I want to talk to them because I have a need in my life and maybe they can help me. You know, maybe we've gone to parents or siblings, or someone's ever been in a situation, a tight spot in this life, and you've sought out somebody with resources. Well, how much more the one with all the resources is here. And here's the good news. Unlike some family members, he's more willing to help you. He is more willing to help you than anybody. Than anybody. And yet there's people all the time, oh, I don't need the church. Well, then you don't need that debt paid then. Well, I don't need the church. Well, you don't need your body healed then. Well, I don't need the church. Well, then you don't need your marriage restored then. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, I don't need the church. Then you don't need your kids living right. You need the corporate anointing. It's not because it's family church or it's this institution. Believe me, every other church that preaches the word is the same for them too. This is not exclusive to family church. We are not an exclusive church. We are not the elite of the body of Christ. You understand that? It's available to anyone who will gather in his name. Because where we're gathered in his name, his presence is there, and where he is, his abilities are there. So it's like you don't want to miss the corporate anointing. Because it is, again, one of the number one ways we experience God. And listen, you will experience things here that you can experience nowhere else. I don't mean church versus church. I'm talking about in a corporate setting. There's things that happen here that cannot and will not happen at home. That cannot and will not happen at home because we're purposely gathered as the body of Christ here. Praise the Lord. God wants to move into your home. He wants to impact that home. But it's more like you take, you know, the corporate anointing, you take it home with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Yep. Notice this. God has designed our greatest needs to be fulfilled when we're together. Isn't that awesome? God knows that selfishness is the number one disqualifier for all of his blessings. And so he designed it so you need somebody else. Isn't that awesome? God knew, he said, I designed it so that you need fellowship. That you require fellowship with at least two or three others. Oh, come on. Isn't that awesome? God designed it so we would have no other way to experience him but to humble ourselves to a fellowship. Listen, I'm just going to say it right now. I'll just take this opportunity to humble myself before this church. I need you. You know? There's probably some songs that we could probably sing. Honey, you know, there's probably a lot of songs out there that sing about needing somebody. Well, I'll tell you what, we need each other because I can't have God's plan for my life without being in fellowship with you. God eliminated selfishness. Isn't that awesome? You know, he knew ahead of time that people would say, I'm just going to have God by myself and for myself. I'm going to sit at home and have my own church. God put the big stamp on it, said, eh. Remember the Gong Show? I remember the Gong Show as a kid. I don't know, it might have been even reruns by the time I was a kid. But remember, people would do their talent acts. It was like a talent show. And the judges, when they would just think their act stinks, they had this big, like, Asian gong. And someone would take that big mallet and you got gonged. That means you are off the stage. Don't even finish your act. You know, every time a Christian says, oh, I don't need the church, I don't need to be in a service, you get the big God gong. I don't know. It makes sense to me. My illustrations are really simple and sometimes just downright bad. But because it makes sense to me, I use it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. When you're preaching, you can use your own illustrations, but for now, I get to use mine. Praise the Lord. God designed our greatest needs to be fulfilled when we're together. Selfishness is the great disqualifier. You cannot have God by yourself and to yourself. Boy, isn't God a genius? He saw all those excuses ahead of time and said, nope, you're going to need somebody. You're going to need somebody. You're going to need to be in fellowship. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to submit yourself and commit yourself to a fellowship, because that's where the corporate anointing is. His presence to work His power in our midst. Things that you cannot and will not get anywhere else. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you're going to experience God on this earth or heaven on earth, you'll need to humble yourself to a fellowship. Like I said, you need a church more than the church needs you. Oh, yeah. The corporate anointing is the environment that God has chosen to demonstrate Himself. To demonstrate Himself. And the corporate anointing is the greatest anointing for miracles that are on this earth. Guess what? The miracle worker's here today. His name is Jesus. His name is the Holy Ghost, right? All authorized by God the Father. I'll tell you what, when you start to look at it as not just going to church, but I'm going to be in the corporate anointing. That's why I'm here. I'm gathering. I'm coming here to add my measure of faith. I'm coming to add my measure of response. I'm coming to add my measure of praise. Amen. Because the more that all of us participate, the greater the corporate anointing is. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And people will take issue when I said that there's things that will happen in the local church that can't happen at home. Well, I just showed you the verse. Two or three are gathered in my name. And some people say, well, me and my wife and my kids, we gather we gather together in the name of Jesus and we have our own church at home. Wrong. You know why? Because there's a verse called Hebrews 10:25 that eliminates it and requires it to be in a local church. Can you bring that up? Why don't we just show you that? Praise the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, that just seems arrogant. You're just trying to get people to this church. Yeah. Not the arrogant part, but the trying to get people in church. That's right. I won't apologize for that. And listen, everyone in this city isn't called to be in this church. You know, it will be the same in any church. Whatever church you're called to be at that one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we bring that up? Hebrews 10:25. I believe it's the right one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes the system is, it freezes for a half a second. Our technical people have told us that. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. All right, using an excuse to forsake the assembling of ourselves, that means Christians together. It's going to be more than just your wife and your kids. It says, as the manner of some is, God's saying, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner or the habit of some is. Some people have that awful spiritual habit of missing the corporate anointing. It says, but we should exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, the day of Jesus' return isn't getting further away. It's getting closer. We don't need less church, less gathering of ourselves. We need more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because that's the corporate anointing. All right. here we go. Let's talk about the keys to the corporate anointing. How does it work? How does the Holy Ghost respond to it? And if you're sitting here saying, well, I just know all this already. No, you don't. We don't ever want to have that mentality of like, I know it already. Maybe you've heard it before, but listen, you know, every time we step up to God's word, we should always act like it's the freshest, newest thing. Amen. Because that's what hunger looks like. Go with me to 2 Chronicles. Go with me to 2 Chronicles. Way back there in the Old Testament, chapter 5. And let's look at what we could call a church service in the Old Testament. How many of you know that if God moved big in the Old Testament, how much more will he move in the new? Right? Remember, you know, Hebrews 8:6 tells us, that we have a better covenant established upon better promises in the New Testament? Amen. Oh, listen, I tell you what, you're getting your education here this morning. Don't leave without it. It'll help you. It'll bless your life. So what we got to know and understand. For way too long, God's people, they're just slowed down by all this stuff in our society. They don't bring to the house of God that urgency, you know, that energy, their joy, their excitement. They're waiting for the worship team to pump them up. They're waiting for the pastor to pump them up. Oh, what would our services be if you came already pumped up? Yeah, praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. Now, this is at the dedication of Solomon's temple. Remember David, he had set aside all this money to build the temple. And of course, his son Solomon became king, and he's the one that finished the work. Well, this is when the temple is built, and they're dedicating it before the Lord. So it was a special day, and they're all gathered at the temple. You could say it this way in New Testament terms. They're having church that day. They're gathering in the name of God for service. And it says this in the Old Testament, verse 13, it says, it came even to pass. That's what, I love that term. That means something happened. It wasn't something that just was read. It wasn't just something that was said, but something came to pass. Something demonstrated in the presence of the people. God showed up. Yeah, it was more than just reading words off a page. It was more than just hearing words spoken. Something moved in their midst, and that's what God wants to do. It says, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So now we have the words to their praise and worship that day. I mean, get this scene in your head. I mean, this is about 3,000 years ago. All right, and it worked 3,000 years ago. It'll work today. They had a worship team. They had trumpets. They had strings of, probably different than our stringed instruments, but they had stringed instruments. They had trumpets. They have all, probably percussions and drums, and they had singers, and all the people were gathered that day at the temple. And, here we see they all start singing and praising God. I mean, it was a very loud vocal event. And notice, it wasn't just the worship team there. It was all of the people. It says, they were as one making one sound to be heard, praising and thanking the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And if you study the Old Testament, the cloud is a reference to God's glory. The glory of God showed up in that place in such a tangible way, all right? God arrived. He was pleased with how vocal they were. He was pleased in what they all were singing and that they all were praising. Listen, when we come to church, it should not be a quiet event. For too long, you know, God's people have sat in church services like it's funerals. And that grieves the heart of God. God isn't looking for a funeral. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He's risen. It's a time to celebrate our Savior in our midst. Hallelujah. It says, and they all started shouting, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And God literally showed up and started to demonstrate himself in their midst. Look what happened in the next verse, verse 14. It says, so that the priests, the ministers, could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. When you start seeing the ministers fall over, they couldn't stand up. The presence of God was so strong in that place, they couldn't even stand up. Listen, I've been in services like that. And I'll tell you, there's one thing that all those services have in common. They have a very high response from the people. The people are shouting. They're praising. They're not ashamed of what people are thinking around them. They're hungry for God. They don't care if you think they're crazy. They don't care if someone looks over at them and you know, has an insulting thought, like, oh, look at them. They're not living in the same box as you are. They're not ashamed, you know, they're not living under the shame of their past anymore. Come on, I'll tell you what, church, you know, we've had people come into this church and be like, Pastor, you know, we like your church, but whoa, it was kind of loud. And you know, and there's a lot of people praising and shouting and lifting hands. And there was, you know, all these amens and, you know, all this stuff. Yeah, that's exactly because that is going to help your life. Because what they were doing is that they were contributing to the corporate anointing so God could move in. Listen, all right, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The glory of the Lord. What does the glory of the Lord do? Should we take a look? Can you bring up Philippians 4:19? Let's see what, you know, we always just think, what does the glory of God do, right? We always quote Philippians 4:19, but it's a verse that's talking about the glory of God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Notice when God is going to meet needs, he is not going to pour dollar bills and gold coins out of the rafters. I know some Christians have that mistaken. They, you know, if those gems were real, then why are they made out of plastic? That junk is so full of garbage anyhow. I won't go and get on that. It's deceiving the body of Christ. Anyhow. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When God meets needs in our midst, what does he do? He brings the glory. The glory moves in. And what does the glory do? It meets every need. Now go back to 2 Chronicles 5:14, just so you know one thing what the glory does, right? 14, let's go to 14. It says, the glory filled the house of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. There it is. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house. You could say it this way, for the abilities of God had filled the place. The tangible presence of God, all right? People at that moment, they become more filled with joy. Their needs were being met and they couldn't even understand it with their mind. It was nothing they could see or hear, you know, ahead of time. They didn't know that that was going to happen, but God moved in and that glory started blessing their life. Yep. So let's talk about the keys of the corporate anointing. What is your part in this corporate anointing? Number one, participation. People say, I want the Holy Ghost to come just set himself on my life. I want the Holy Ghost just to move in. I need him to heal my body. I need him to pay my bills. I need God to move on my kids and my family. I want God to move on my business, you know. Well, come to church and participate then. Number one is participation. Notice back up there in verse 13. I know I'm jumping between these two verses a lot. It says, notice that the trumpeters and singers were all as one. You know, they all were involved, you know. Remember on the day of Pentecost? Remember Acts 2, verse 1? It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. Actually, I have that reverse, one accord in one place, right? They were all together. They were all in agreement. They were all after the same thing. They were all participators. Amen. What if a church this size had every single person, every service participating? What if every single one of us set aside our self-consciousness and praised God the way He wants to be praised? What would happen? I'll tell you what will happen. The glory of God moves in. Say, well, Pastor, are we going to see a tangible cloud? Well, listen, we're in the New Testament. We don't need to see things with our eyes to know that God's in our midst. It could. I have been in a service where I saw the tangible cloud of God. It happened to me one time. It was a Thursday night service in 2010, June 2010, in a Dr. Dufresne service in California. I saw the cloud of God move in, and I thought, honestly, I'll just, you know, tell on myself. I was being real carnal, must be, because I started looking around and just thinking that something was like a light had popped and burned out, or, you know, and I thought something was like, what, you know, did something break, you know, and I thought it was just me, and everyone, all the other ministers were just, you know, confessing, like, do you see that? You know, like, yeah. I mean, it was very, very tangible. It was about half the room. This is the glory of God moved in, and I'll never forget that service. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was like you were looking into what's going on in heaven. I mean, people were praising, people were dancing, people were worshiping. Some people were just sitting there because they couldn't even stand up. Then a real precious holiness just came into that place. I remember there was people sitting up on the platform. There was people sitting on floors. People were just sitting in the seats. And it was like you looked around and everybody that you looked at was just like a part of your family. It was hard to describe. It was almost like they were related to you. And half of them, I didn't even know their names or anything. But there was such a sweet fellowship in that place, and it was just a taste of what heaven is, you know. And God wants to do that. God wants to move in our midst. What if we all participated? No, not every service is going to be swinging off the chandeliers. You got to have time, you know, where you're just instructed in the Word of God. You know, not every service goes that way. But what if we came in at least willing? What if we were willing to praise God the way He wanted to be praised? Say, well, Pastor, I'm just shy. Well, listen, I'd put my shyness up against yours any day. Just my natural personality is not to be seen. Just natural. I deal with that. I understand what it is to face those thoughts. But listen, that's where God lives. It's at the end of your discomfort. It is when you are out on a limb, when your flesh is crawling and your mind is reeling, and when you feel like you are totally out of your comfort zone, that's where God lives. And if you are not willing to make yourself uncomfortable for the things of God, I'll tell you what, He's not going to move in your life until the flesh is crucified. So I just don't like that lifting of hands business. Well, guess what? God didn't ask you if you liked it. He told you to do it. And you're not doing it to bless yourself. You're doing it to bless God. Number one way, participation. All right, and you say, well, Pastor, I just need scriptures for that. Well, okay, well, how about, you know, the ones that we quote all the time. Psalm 134, verse 2, lift your hands in the sanctuary, bless the Lord. Right? How about, you know, 1 Timothy 2, 15, lift up your I misquoted that verse. It's verse 8. Lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. All right, Psalm 63, verses 3 through 5. My lips will praise thee, thus while I live, I will bless thee. I will lift my hands in your name. Hebrews 13, 15, you know, by him, or speaking of Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalm 35, 27, let him shout for joy and be glad. Them that favor my righteous cause, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Right? Oh, what is it over there? Psalm 9, what is it? Praise is comely for the upright. You know, it's appropriate for the born-again believers to lift their voices, praise God, participate in the corporate anointing. Listen, it's not up to God today what kind of service we're going to have. It's up to us. He's willing. He's able. He's ready. All these things, remember, are prepared. You know, I notice that on an airplane, you know, if they come and ask me, you know, what snack or meal I want, if I say, no, I don't want it, they don't bring it anyway. You know, in the same way, if you act like you don't want it, God's not going to bring it anyway. He says, you don't want it, you won't have it. All right? And it's always determined by our participation. All right, we're getting ready to wrap this up. Here's the second key. And these are all kind of interrelated. Second key to the corporate anointing is praise. Praise. Again, you know, the word praise, you know what the word praise is? It is the root word for the word appraisal. How many of you have ever had a house appraised or an heirloom appraised? Is there anyone that has ever had a house, you know, if you bought a house, you've had something appraised before? Maybe you inherited an heirloom and you had it appraised for its value. We are well aware of that process. You take something to an expert or the bank or whoever, and they tell you what it's worth, all right? All right, praise is the root word for appraisal. Whatever you put your praise on is what you find valuable in your life. Do you know why Christians, they won't open their mouths and they won't praise God? Because God's not worth it to them yet. When is God going to be worth it to you? Ooh, boy, now we're stepping on toes. Let's just, my personality isn't to do that, Pastor. Well, then your personality is worth more to you than God. Well, I don't do that because, you know, someone is going to see me. Somebody from my work goes to this church, and I don't want them to see me doing that. Well, then your pride is worth more to you than God. Listen, if God wants me, if there was a scripture in the Bible, which I'm rather glad that there's not, but if there was a verse in the Bible that told me to bark like a dog and walk around on all fours, I'd do it. I'd do it. Some say, well, I just wouldn't do that. I won't do anything. You know, there's certain things that I just won't do for God. Well, that's why he doesn't move in your life. Because it makes you uncomfortable. See, these are the keys to the corporate anointing. Oh, come on now. Say, well, Pastor, are you saying I got to be the loudest person in the room? No. That's not your goal. Your goal is not to be personally noticed. Some people take it the extreme the other way. They try to get everyone's attention because they want everyone looking on them. No. We're trying to bring attention to God. To God. All right? And these are things that have gone, the body of Christ has gone without for far too long. And they're wondering why their churches aren't growing. And they're wondering why there's no power in their services. And they're wondering why their services are like a memorial rather than a celebration. Come on now. You know, we should be responsive. We should be those that praise. Remember, praise is what you put your value on. But boy, I see people all the time. Are you ready? Here I go with my football rant again. Are you ready? Hey, glory to God, playoffs are here. Of course, we knew the Bills weren't going to be there. We knew that from week one. We knew that wasn't going to happen. But no doubt, these fans that have a team in the playoffs, I can't resist taking a good shot at the Buffalo Bills. And of course, our new people, you have to understand, I was just such a serious Bills fan my whole life, and now I'm just so disgruntled. It's just, you know, people say, Pastor Tim, where's your faith? I say, well, faith begins where the word of God is known. And since there's no scripture about the Buffalo Bills, I don't have to put my faith in that team. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But no doubt, there are fans all around, you know, who have their team in the playoffs. And what are they doing? They're getting on Facebook. They have their fantasy football, league and all this stuff. And they're praising their football team. Oh, our team's better. This is best, you know. And they're constantly talking about how good their football team is. What if you did that with your God? What if you brought that? You know, what are they doing? They're praising that team because they value it. And unfortunately, there's going to be people around this nation today that when their football team loses, they're seriously going to have a bad week because of it. Because their joy was based on that football team. Come on. Why? Because where you put your praise is what you truly value. You know, boy, think about how that would work in a marriage. I'll tell you what, you'd be encouraging your spouse all the time if you were going to put your value there. Yeah, amen. Praise God. That would help you, men. Yeah, but I'll tell you, first and foremost, our praise is for God when we're here together. Why? Because the corporate anointing depends on it. And the third key to the corporate anointing, you understand that these keys are what we all do in service. All right, we participate, we praise. And the third thing is responding. Responding to God. Oh, we could go through so many verses. Of course, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God the Father. We look back. How many of you remember Samuel the prophet? When he was just a child, God was speaking to him, and he didn't understand it. And when he talked to the high priest, Eli told him, the next time God talks to you, say this. Respond like this, and God hears you when you respond a certain way. God loves response. You know, just sitting in church and doing nothing and saying nothing does not attract the presence of God. All right? What is responding? Folks, let me say this. You know, I haven't been, it's not like I've been pastoring for 50 years, but I've been pastoring long enough now. This is 11 full years where, honestly, I don't need amens to encourage me. I mean, I know that sounds, you know, a certain way, but it does nothing so much for me. You know, it's not like I'm not teaching this so people will amen me so I feel good about my preaching. All right. Listen, whatever happens in the pulpit, I leave it in the pulpit. When I first started, I mean, I would be very self-conscious. Was that good? Did that go right and everything? I know I'm just trashing everybody's. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I'm well aware when I'm making people happy and when I'm, you know, totally stepping on everything in life. I understand that. I don't need the encouragement. Responding is not about me as the pastor. Responding is about the corporate anointing, because God's word tells us that he likes response. The amen isn't about the preacher. The amen is about the truth of God. The word amen says, it literally means, yes, it is true. When you amen something that is true, when you hear something out of the word that's good, that's you saying, amen, God, I believe it. Yeah. Amen is not just a traditional church idea. It has a scriptural. Remember when Jesus said, several times. Remember, if you read the King James, like in, let's say John 14:12, for example, verily, verily, I say unto you, right? Remember when he would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. The word verily, verily in the Greek is amen and amen, meaning this is true, this is very true. It is you acknowledging the truth of God, and God loves response, all right? When we come to a church, you know, we should do these things, and our church services should be more like celebrations ever than a funeral. Did you get anything out of this here today? You want to experience more of God? You want 2017 to be better than 2016? Here's what we do, right? Here's what our church services look like. Not because they're our idea, because it's God's idea. Amen. There's far too many churches in America now that are just developing. Do you know that there's churches all over that are hiring production assistants? It is this whole fad in the church world right now. I'll just tell you. They won't tell you about it. But as a pastor, you know, I'm privy to these things. You know, they're hiring production assistants to come in and to schedule their services. Production assistants, like people that have worked on television programs and radio programs. Oh, you got to do this. You only have this long and that much, and you got to do this. Yeah, you'll produce the Holy Ghost right out of the place. Because we don't do what pleases man. We do what pleases God. Amen. Did you get some help? Yeah, so let's be responders, right? Let's be praisers. Let's be participators. Amen? Let's watch the corporate anointing move in our life, and you'll experience the Holy Ghost like you never have before.